Good morning, everyone. We're not going to have a call to worship today because we want to give as much time as possible to Brother Mel Wingrove. If you would please turn me to number 259. 259, we'll stand together as we sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." Let's stand together as we sing 259. Go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon our services today. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house this morning, to be able to sing this wonderful hymn of praise and adoration to Thee, to be able to have our hearts challenged from Your precious Word. Lord, this is a tremendous opportunity today, and I pray that You might open our hearts to receive Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness to us. We do pray today for those who are away from us, from our church family, many of them traveling on the road this very hour. We pray that You would grant safety and protection to them. We pray also, Father, that You would undertake for the different ministries of this church, for the school, for the learning center, for the Children's Bible Club ministry, the Youth Athletic Club. Father, You've given us such a varied ministry, with opportunities each day to be a witness and testimony for Thee. We pray that You would defeat the devil, that You'd put a hedge about this place, that You would give wisdom to all those who serve in this ministry to honor Thee with their lives, to walk closely with Thee, to know Your Word and to have it in their hearts, to pray for the students that are involved in their classrooms and to remember their families in prayer. Lord, this is so important. An important ministry, and I pray, Father, that You would allow us to be used of Thee. We ask You, Father, that You would undertake for our missionaries today. We thank You for the Wingroves who are with us, and we thank You for their faithful service over these past 16 years, raising awareness for ministries there in South America and around the world. We thank You, Father, for their service. We pray for them that You would guide them in Your will for the future, that You would show them what You'd have them to do. And we ask, dear Father, that You would watch over and protect them as they have a great deal of traveling to do in the remainder of this year. Pray that You would just protect, keep them safe, and give them good health. We ask, dear Father, that You would undertake for those who are living in very difficult places serving Thee in missions. We thank, Father, of those that are serving in Mexico with the earthquake that took place this week and the tragic loss of life there. We pray for them today. We know of some who have been affected by this terrible earthquake, and we would just ask, Father, that You would encourage them, help them to receive the supplies that they need, help them to find adequate housing. And we pray, Father, that Your work would not be disrupted. We also pray for those recovering from the hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Lord, many of our friends who went through these storms are trying to get things back together again. We just pray that You would meet needs, supply. And we ask, dear Father, for those especially down in the islands of Puerto Rico that's been devastated by the Hurricane Maria and absolutely no power on the island, no water. We ask, Father, that You would help guide those that can assist to be able to get in there quickly. We think of several churches and Christian colleges and Christian schools on the island that have been terribly affected by this storm, that You would just strengthen those brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that You would provide for them, that You would meet their needs, and that through this, Father, lost souls would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. May they turn to Thee before it's too late. Now, Father, bless our time together today. Bless Your Word. And I pray that we might have open hearts to receive Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 380. Number 380, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. You know, this morning they were showing footage from Puerto Rico on one of the news services, and it was they did a 5-mile run just on this one road, and there was not one house standing. But over and over again, as the vehicle was going by, you'd see a foundation, 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 all along that way. That was the only thing that survived the hurricane. But isn't it wonderful to know that if you are on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that you can survive no matter what happens, that God is with you every day, and you better be built on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. If you're building on the foundation of sand in this world, you will lose everything, your eternal soul. How important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. 380.
Thank you.
Appreciate that special and song by Devin Zwalski and Nicole Hafner. Let's sing one more time before Brother Wingrove comes to share the Word of God, number 326. 326, we'll sing on just the first stanza of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 326. Our privilege today to have with us Mel and Jan Wingrove. They have been faithful servants of the Lord in full-time Christian ministry for almost 50 years and began that basically here at Santa Rosa Christian School many, many years ago, Brother Mel, and was involved with all kinds of things on campus, teaching to dorm parenting to all other kinds of things. I think you were a lifeguard and a WSI instructor for a while too. And then, of course, Mrs. Wingrove, who I have to apologize to on a regular basis for my second grade year. But we really appreciate these two. They have been faithful servants of the Lord. And they're traveling to all of the supporting churches to visit them and to say thank you for the support that they have received. And I don't know about you, but my heart was blessed during Sunday school this morning. That was a tremendous message from God's Word. And we look forward to hearing what God has for us.
Sometimes when we're places, people said, what did you do at Milton? And I said, I taught all the difficult subjects, you know, like swimming, water skiing, canoeing, go-karting, motorcycle riding, all the tough subjects. But it's been good. God's been good. I did ask Pastor Brainerd if we could come and say thank you to let you know what we've been doing over the years. I graduated from Bob Jones University in 1965, and we've been in full-time ministry service since then, anywhere from Florida to Canada and all places around the world. We're going to share that with you. So we thank you for your prayers and your financial support over the years as we serve the Lord here in the United States of America and countries around the world. We appreciate that so much. And whatever we've done, you have been laborers with us. And whenever you get to heaven, God will give you that part of the reward that you deserve for your faithfulness in that regard. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Have you ever had a storm in your life? You know, those things that come up and just kind of mess everything up. Mess up all your plans, mess up your direction in life. Scare the living daylights out of you, like you don't know what in the world is happening. Why is this happening? Are we actually going to get out of this thing alive? And that's what Acts chapter 27 is about. And we're going to look at that this morning. And I want you to realize that no matter how bad the storm is or how dark the night may seem, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that's a big if, you know, you can make it through the storm. You can make it through the storm, no matter how bad it seems. Paul was imprisoned because the Jewish people didn't like him. And they really wanted to kill him, but they couldn't because he was a Roman citizen. So he went to Roman tribunals, but the Jewish people kept coming saying, we want to try him in our own court. And Paul finally said, I appeal unto Caesar. Now in those days, that was sort of like Supreme Court. And when a Roman citizen wanted to appeal to Caesar, there was no other court that could try them except for Caesar in Rome. And so they said, okay, you're going to Rome. And so they put him on board a ship. Now, in those days, ships were not like they are today because they were considerably smaller. Most of them were made out of wood, and most of them you really wouldn't want to be in, especially in a storm. And so we're going to look at some verses, and we're going to look at some things about how we weather the storm. First of all, in verse number 9, it says sailing was now dangerous. We have warnings, you know, like hurricane warnings. You've had a few of those around this part of the world, right? They have planes that fly through the hurricanes, and they have radar that can see hurricanes out there. And they can tell you when there's small craft warnings. They can tell you when there's larger craft warnings. But in those days, they didn't have any of that kind of stuff. They just knew that at certain times of the year, it really wasn't a good idea to be out on the Mediterranean Sea in a boat. And so that particular time had already passed, and Paul went to the owner of the ship, and he said, you know what, this voyage is going to be with much hurt and damage. And so I think it really would be a good idea for us to stay right where we are, and we'll be safe there. But the master and the owner of the ship, he really wanted to go on. He said, you know, I would really like to take care of this load of cargo that I've got. There were people and there were goods on board. And I can make it before the really bad storm comes and catches us. And so let's go ahead and go. And so the other problem they had is the particular harbor in which they were parked was really not the best place to spend a winter. And they decided, well, let's go to this other place and we'll spend the winter there. The town's nicer. There's nicer stuff. There's nicer restaurants and motels and hotels, and there'll be a lot more fun there. And so that's what they decided they were going to do. The only problem was, the Bible says there arose against it a tempestuous wind. Now, the word tempestuous wind is further described a little later, and it has a great big funny word, but actually what it means is there was a northeasterner that came out. And actually the word in the original language is the word gale. It was a gale force wind that came out. And the Bible says the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. Now, these ships were sailing ships. And when you're sailing, we're talking about sailing through a storm this morning. When you're sailing, you can only sail within a certain number of degrees in relationship to the direction of the wind. If the wind is very, very strong, it shortens that distance. And finally, it can shorten it down so that you don't have any other choice except to let her drive. And that's the phrase that used in verse number 15. Now, when it says let her drive, that simply means that you're going to run what they call run before the wind. The wind is going to push you in a direction, and you really can't run too much to the right or to the left because you're going to have a problem. One of the things when this happens is you have to realize that you have to go where the storm is going. And sometimes when you and I have storms in our lives, we just have to go where the storm's taking us. Now, it's scary. And we know that we're off course. But we really don't have any choice in a storm. Because the storm is going to take you the direction that it's going. And you have to be willing to accept off course for a little while. When the storm is over, then you can get back on course and arrive at your destination. If you decide you're going to fight against the storm's going to tear the boat apart. You're not going to be able to get back on course because there's no way you can get on course. And that's one of the things in life that we need to realize. When a storm overtakes us, that we just have to let it dry. The ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, so you just go where it's taking. So that's what they had to do. The next thing it says is they used help undergirding the ship. In those days, they made ships of planking. And when you made ships of planking, when the storm became very intense, it had a tendency to shift that. In order to keep the ship together, they had to have ropes and wires that they would slide underneath the ship and tighten it up around the ship to make it hold together. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 4, I drew them with the cords of a man and with bands of love, and I was unto them as they that take off the yoke off their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I would like you to see the underlying phrase where it said, I drew them with the cords of a man and with bands of love. You know, when we're in that storm, you know the first question we ask? God, where are you? Where are you? It's like God's not there anymore because we're in a storm. But we need to realize that at all times, God has said, lo, I am with you always. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He's with us whether we're in the storm or whether in the calm. He is there. Our perception is wrong. Our perception is that He is not there, because if He were there, there would be no storm. We would not be in the storm and it would go away. But sometimes God has purpose in us being in the storm. But He has not put us there by ourselves. He has also put us there, if we are believers, with other like believers who love us, whom we also love. And those are the bands of love that keep the ship together when it's facing the storm. It says, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand. Quicksand's a bad thing on the shore. You know, if you get out of your boat and you see the shore there and you step out of the boat and you step into quicksand, that's really a bad plan. And you don't want to go there. And you know, sometimes you know there's places that even in the storm you don't want to go. And they knew that there was a place in northern Africa where there were quicksands on the beach, and they really didn't want to go there. They said, well, we've given way before the storm, but we want to steer it at least enough to make sure we don't end up in the quicksands in northern Africa. And so there's something else you have to do. Guess what it is? How many know what that word means? Strake sail. Strake sail. That's a weird word, isn't it? When you have a sailboat, you have sail. That's brilliant, isn't it? The sail is the motor. Although it's not anything at all like a motor. But it is what propels the vessel through the water. And when your wind is about right, it's a wonderful experience. When there's a storm, the wonderful experience goes away and you're scared to death. That's what happened. What it means is you have to reduce sail. I have a sailboat. I can put up 150 square feet of sail, a jib and a main, if I put up the big main. If a storm comes up, I have to reduce sail. I can do a number of things. Number one, I can lower the main. It's called reefing the main, whatever that means. You reduce sail. Or I can take the main down completely and run off of the jib. They also sell for sailboats what they call a storm sail, which is a very, very small piece of canvas, about 3 to 4 feet, that you can put up. Because without a sail, you have no control over steering the boat. And they really needed to control the boat because they didn't want to end up in the quicksands in northern Africa. And so what they did was they reduced sail. Now, when we're in storms, one of the things that happens, you remember Job's storm in the book of Job? He had a storm. And he had some friends who had all kind of words that really were not helpful and were not right. And a lot of times people have all kind of words that they can throw at us. Job chapter 8 and verse 2, he says, "And how long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" You know, what we listen to, who we listen to, when we're in the storm is very important. And if we begin to listen to the wrong people who are giving us wrong direction and unscriptural advice, it's not good. And what you have to do is lower your sail. Reduce sail. We have all kinds of ways to hear words today. You know, like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Witter and whatever. You know, people say all kinds of stuff, you know. Job turned to his friends and he said, your mouth is just like a strong wind. It's just wind. And you have to reduce sail. In other words, you have to quit listening to that kind of stuff. You see, we ought to have godly people who love us, who will give us godly advice and counsel, and it won't be strong wind. What we need we to hear, it says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." In other words, get the negative thoughts out of your head and get the positive good things into your head and heart. Another good thing to do is, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And those things will help us to reduce sail. The other problem sometimes we have is we have windy doctrine. Pastor was mentioning this before. I didn't know he was going to say that. But all kinds of doctrine floating around. That's not doctrine, not biblical. It's not right. It's all wrong. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice, this is doctrine of cunningness, craftiness, deception. It's the wrong kind of doctrine. It's the wrong kind of wind. And we have to reduce sail so that we don't catch all that stuff. And when the Bible uses the phrase, strike sail, that's what it means, we had to reduce sail. And when you and I are in storms and we're hearing all kind of words, just windy words, or windy doctrine, we have to reduce sail at least as much as possible to eliminate as much of that stuff as possible because it's not helpful. And you know, sometimes when you're sailing, it's pitch dark. And you can't see a thing. And guess what? You have to have a GPS. And you just follow the thing. It's like a pilot flying a plane, and some of you guys might be pilots. You know, you have to follow the instruments when you can't see a thing. While in a sailboat, it's the same thing. You have to follow the instruments when you can't see a thing if you're going to make it through. And sometimes when our night is blackest and darkest and we can't see anything at all, we need to have a compass. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to know God personally so that through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, He can give us direction so that we come through safely. The next thing it says in verses 18 and 19 is they lightened the ship. Now that means they needed more freeboard, whatever in the world that means. I don't know. Here's the top part of my boat. This is where the water's running on it. The more stuff I have in the boat, the less space I have between the water line and the top edge. When a storm comes up, the waves come up. As wind rises, waves rise. And so what you need to do is you need to make more freeboard. In order to do that, you have to lighten the ship. You throw stuff overboard. A lot of the old ships, they would put rocks in the bottom so that they could expose more sail and go faster. And when a storm came up, the first thing they would do is unload some of that stuff. Well, if the storm kept coming up and they kept having problems, they started throwing some other stuff overboard. Then they would start throwing cargo overboard. And that's what they had to do. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, a lot of times when the storm comes, God really wants us to get rid of some excess. The sin is a weight that slows us down, that besets us, that creates problems for us. And we need to dump it overboard so that we have more freeboard so that we can survive the storm. Notice the sins and the weights are not necessarily always sin like evil, evil sin, but weights can be something that is good at times, but in a storm I need to get rid of the weight. If I were running track, I could put ankle weights on. I could carry hand weights while I'm training. But when I'm actually ready to run the race, I have to get rid of the weight. If we're in a storm, and the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, points out weights and sins, we need to throw them overboard. Maybe even without the storm, we ought to throw some of them overboard and get rid of them. Maybe that would be helpful. Sometimes in a storm, we're sure we're not going to make it. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. All the soldiers on board said, "We're all going to die." All the sailors on board said, "We're all going to die." It's totally, utterly hopeless. It's over. We're all dead. Paul stood up. He said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not gained this harm and loss." He said, "I told you not to come." You know, isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit, a lot of times in a storm, tells us, you know, "If you'd have done what I said, we wouldn't be here. If you'd obeyed the Word of God, we wouldn't be here. If you'd be living the way God wants you to live, we wouldn't be here." Guys, that's a lesson we can learn from the storm. Sometimes when we're told not to go someplace or do something, and we do it anyway, we find ourselves in the storm, utterly hopeless. And finally we realize, you know, if I'd have done what I was told, I wouldn't be here. And so some of the storms we face in life are storms of our own bad choices. We wouldn't listen. But notice he wasn't blaming, just stating the fact. He was forgiving. A lot of times we need to be forgiving, confessing, and encouraging. Because guess what he says next? You know what? In a storm, God has to be with you. Here's a problem that a lot of people have. They've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not personally know God. They just, in their own strength, live their own life. And when the storms of life come, they have no resource to handle the storm. They have no God who can handle the storm. They have no resource in God who can handle the storm. They have no calmness in the storm. And when they arrive at the place when all hope that we should be saved is lost, they are in a total panic. Because now they realize they're going to die. They're sure they're going to die. And they don't know anything about eternity. And they don't know God. And they have a right to be scared. But you know, as God's people, God is with us. He will calm us. Paul was calm. And he will calm the storm eventually. Paul said, "Be of good cheer. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I like this phrase. You know what Paul said? He said, "I belong to God." Don't you love to say that? I belong to God. Wow. The Bible says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I belong to God. That's an awesome statement. I hope that everyone that's here this morning can say, "I belong to God. I belong to God." The second thing he said, "And I serve that God." In other words, I do what that God wants me to do. I'm where that God wants me. And right now I'm on board a ship and everybody else thinks it's going down. And I am not scared. Calm. Because I belong to God. And I serve my God. I'm exactly where he wants me. And I'm okay here. Verse 27 says, "When the 14th night was come." You know, even after Paul stood up and said, "Be of good cheer, we're all going to make it. We're all going to make it. Everybody going to make it." There were still some days of storm to face. And no matter how many storms you may have been through, or if you're in one right now, the storms aren't over. We live in a world, and there's going to be storms. And we're going to be in them. And there's still some days of storm to face. Stay with the boat. And sometimes little things start happening in church, and everybody decides, "Well, I'm going to go someplace else. I didn't like what Pastor said, so I'm going to go someplace else." Well, maybe you ought to listen to what he said, and maybe that's what God wants you to hear, and you ought to do what you've been told, because that's what God wants you to do. But a lot of times, people just want to bail out. And as the shipmen were about, that's the people who are actually operating the ship, were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color. In other words, they were pretending. As though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." He said, "Stay in the ship." When I got in the sailboat, I read my directions over about 15 times. I'm slow. One of the things that it said is, when the boat capsizes, stay with the boat. If it fills up with water, stay with the boat. It won't sink. We tried that once, and it's true. It didn't sink. Not on purpose, by the way. You know what? In a storm, you stay with the boat. Even if it's filled with water and even if it's upside down, you stay with the boat. You know, sometimes it amazes me how people who really call themselves Christians are ready to walk out of church at the least little thing. Paul said, "These guys got to stay with the boat. We need them. They are the people who are operating the ship. We need these guys if we're going to make it. Stay in the boat." He said, "I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health." That's an interesting phrase, because God wants us to be well. You know, and mentally and emotionally and physically and spiritually, you know, in a storm, we can decide, you know, "I don't have time to sleep, I don't have time to eat." We self-destruct because we don't do the normal things. And these people had quit eating. Paul said, "You've got to eat because before long we're all going to be swimming. And you need some strength so you can swim. You haven't eaten anything for 14 days. You've got to have some strength to swim. And that's not the way to land a boat normally, but that's the way this one was going to land. And you need to have some strength in order to do that. Verse 44 says, and they all escaped safe to land. They all made it. Isn't that wonderful? You know what? We can make it too. We can all make it. They stayed there for a while. And after the bad sailing time ended up, there was a ship there where they had shipwrecked. They got on board that ship. They reset course and eventually got to Rome, which was their original destination. Pastor mentioned a few moments ago a word about lighthouse. You know, a lighthouse lets the ships in trouble know where the shore is. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a lighthouse that guides us to a safe harbor. And even through the night, when the night is darkest and you're standing behind the wheel and you see the light, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when we know God's word, we've studied, we've been discipled, as Pastor mentioned, then we have that light no matter how dark the night. And if we follow that light, you know what? We'll be able to get the ship to safe harbor. To safe harbor. Weathering the storm. Sometimes you have to let the boat drive, go wherever it's going. But you have enough sail up that you have some steerage so you don't end up in the place where you don't want to end up, like the quicksand. And you have to quit listening to windy words and windy doctrine that would destroy you. You do that by reducing sail. You have to stay in the boat. You have to be of courage and you have to be calm. But most of all, you have to be able to say, as Paul said, the God whose I am. And this morning, do you belong to Him? Are you God's? God takes care of His own through the storm. And do you see the light of the Word of God to guide you through the darkest of storms and the darkest of nights? And God can bring you to safe harbor. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the truth that lies therein. We pray that You would help us this morning. We pray especially if there's anyone here who does not know Thee as their Savior, who really do not belong to Thee, they have no personal knowledge or relationship with Thee, that they might do that this morning. So when the storms of life come their way, they also would be able to say, the God whose I am and whom I serve said, be of good cheer. We're going to make it through, and that You will bring us to safe harbor. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate so much the ministry of the Wingroves and the word that's been shared with us and an overview of their ministry. The Lord has been faithful, and we thank Him for that. I want you to take your hymn books, please, and turn with me to number 272. Number 272. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet Him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting for you there. You know, that picture there of the Lord as the mother hen calling her chicks. You know, the message goes out to the lost sinner. Won't you come? The shadow of death hovers over. And there are some that say, I don't want that. I'm going to go do my own thing. They don't realize there's a hawk rating right there to take you away. The picture is very clear in the Word of God. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. We can't explain that. We can't fully understand that. And He's provided a way of escape. And He calls, "Won't you come under my wing? Won't you come? I've made a way of escape." But it all boils down to this: do you want what God offers? No one else understands but whom? Jesus. Would you stand together, please? Let's sing the last stanza together. No one understands like Jesus when you falter on the way. Sing out together now.
No one understands like Jesus when you falter on the way. Though you fail Him, sadly fail Him, He will pardon you today. No one understands like Jesus when the days are dark and grim. No one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on Him.
Father in heaven, we thank You for this time today spent in Your Word, spent reflecting upon Your goodness in regard to the Wingroves and their ministry. We pray, Father, that You would continue to use them. Lord, they desire to be used of Thee. And we pray, Father, that You would open the doors of service for them. And I pray that You would work in our hearts today. Perhaps there's someone here today that is not under the shadow of the wing of the Lord Jesus. They're rebellious. They're doing their own thing. They're going their own way. And they don't realize that the old hawk, Satan, is there to snatch them away. And then it's too late. Father, I pray that You'd work in hearts today to draw precious souls unto Yourself. Maybe there's someone here that's playing on the edge. They think they're fine, but in a moment, their foot could slip. I pray that You'd help them to realize that the moment is now to get this forever settled. The way of escape has been made through Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way of escape. There is no other opportunity. I pray that You draw people to Yourself and that we might know of their salvation. Now, Father, I pray that You would watch over us. We pray that You would work in our hearts, and we pray that You'd bring us back again tonight, 6 o'clock, to hear further from Your Word from Brother Wingrove. Father, be with our church family members that are away today, that are traveling right now. We pray that You give safety and protection. Watch over each one. And pray that You'd restore us back together again tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. The Wingroves will be out in the foyer there. And I'm sure they'd appreciate your greeting.